It's Friday, and I'm in my classroom, not alone this time. I'm in my classroom with...
Vicky Dodd, again.
Again. And this is Alan O'Donoghue, and we both teach GCSE computing.
Yes.
OCR, that's mm-hmm. same here. And this podcast, I record it each week, and it's all about what I and Vicky have been teaching to our classes this week. So I'm going to say a little bit about what I've been doing with my class, and Vicky, you know, we'll see how it goes, and we'll talk about that. So on Monday, the 18th of March, I've got this spreadsheet that I've been using in the Google document to sort of track the progress that children are making with their coursework for the A453, the program and assignment. And so during the lesson, what have I got written down here? So it was a controlled assessment lesson. So they spent the whole lesson pretty much working on their coursework.
Right.
And as they were doing this, and I've collecting their progress, I noticed that there's some children who are way, way, way out front. I mean, there's three tasks altogether, and there's about four children that are partway through task three. There's about half the class around about task two. And then I've got a couple of children who are way, way, way behind and struggling to get them going. So, you know, they've only completed one of the...
We're worried about that Those three, in fact.
Yeah. So, they've been in. There's no issues with their attendance. They're just struggling to move forward. And because it's a controlled assessment, I can't go over and say, you know what you need to do, because otherwise I'd be breaking the rules that are set down in terms of...
So, have you actually assessed that, or is that the progress that they're saying they've made?
The second one. They say,
made. Yeah.
Oh, sir, I've just finished the design now for task two, so I'll change that to green.
Yeah.
So I'm not allowed to give them feedback either.
No.
I'm not supposed to say, you well done, Harry, you've got 14 out of 20 on this one. I can't do that. So all I can do is use this to share so we know where they feel that they're up to. Now, what I decided to do was during that lesson to target the ones who are really, really struggling, just to go around and sort of have a peep over their shoulder and see what were the issues that they were stuck on. And I had this piece of paper, sound effects.
Yeah.
So I noticed there was things like generating random choices, having decision blocks in a flowchart. Some of them, they've got stuck on this thing that it mentions, for example, 4, 6 or 12.
Yes.
And some of them have just got bogged down. They think it has to be 4, 6 or 12.
And it doesn't.
It doesn't have to be. So they've got stuck on
it. For example,
yeah,
4, 6
right.
or 12.
And variables, how you use a variable within a random function, they've really not quite grasped that. But the flowcharts, I've noticed quite a few of them really, really are struggling to.
So because, in the design aspect.
Yeah, because for task one, they have to design it using a flowchart. And
they're
doing these, they've got boxes with curly lines and stuff going all over the
place.
Does
it say that they have to design it using a flowchart?
I don't think
or
it does.
Or can they not use like stepwise and then pseudocode?
Yeah, they could do, but I've just thought, well, flowcharts is, it's written down in the specification. So they spent all of their lesson working on that, and I gave them some feedback as well, because in the right-hand side of this spreadsheet, we've got the amount of time that they've spent on it. So most of them have had 7 or 8 hours. This girl here, she missed a couple of lessons, so that's why hers. But what I'm able to say to them is, this is a 20-hour assignment.
Yeah.
And, you know, look, Terry, you know, you've spent 8 hours, so you're less than half the amount of time, and you're nearly finished. So it's good for them to see how well they're doing. But it also means that when I need to put the pressure on the likes of George or James, I can say, look, you're nearly halfway through and you've not even finished the first task yet. So that's helpful.
So they're stuck on the analysis section?
The design, really. They've completed that. It's,
so
they haven't
it's the
moved
design.
Forward to
they
design.
Haven't moved forward from the design.
So the following lesson, so that was on Monday, so Wednesday, I decided we weren't going to do any of the controlled assessment in the Wednesday lesson. So
would you normally?
Yeah, they
so
would have
they
done.
Would have two controlled assessments, okay.
So what I did in the Wednesday lesson was I've highlighted the ones who were right out in the lead, I've highlighted their names in pink, and I've done it. So I've got half the class are pink and half the class aren't pink.
Yeah.
So I said, right, all the pinky people, you now need...
pinky people, right, okay.
Yeah. So all the pinky people, you need to pair up with a partner. And so I'm matching the ones who are right out in front with the ones who are way behind.
Okay.
Not with something specific in mind. So I started referring to them as the pinky partners. So that's the pinky partner, person who's pink.
And did you tell them that they were pinkies? Well, that you're a pinky and then you're a partner?
They see this. This is accessible.
Right,
Because I've got this in that tiny URL. They can have a look. But it was on the whiteboard. Yes. So pinky partners, go. So everybody had to sit down and work with somebody. So then what I did was on the whiteboard, I drew the sort of four basic flowchart symbols, the terminator, the start and end, the decision bit, the process bit, and the bit where you're... That's it. I've said all four. Decision and like a process thing. So, and there's input and output.
The input and output. Yeah.
So I drew those on the board and I wrote some descriptions. And this wasn't... I didn't spend the night before preparing it. I just literally wrote them on the whiteboard and said, now, okay, whiteys and your pinky partners... What you need to do now, I didn't call them whiteys. I need to think of a better name than that. That doesn't sound right. So what you need to do with your partner now, you need to try and match up the descriptions with the right flowchart block.
Yeah.
So, and then I do this thing where I kind of call their bluff. So if they said, oh, that's the Terminator, I say, oh, so you're saying that's the Terminator. Why are you saying that? And they say, well, because there's only one line that goes into it. And there's no line that's coming out of it, so it kind of implies that it's the end of something. And who else in the class agrees with it? And, you know, so it was this kind of discussion and dialogue on it. So that was to help them understand. And then I said to them, right, it's pretty cold this morning. And this morning when I got in the car, turned the engine on, this thing comes up on the dashboard and says it's really, really cold. But then a little bit later, the message disappeared. So there's obviously some sort of decision going on here that tells me when the temperature drops below a certain level. So I want you now in your books with your pinky partner to design a flowchart that would make something like that work. So they had to do that in their books. Oh, no, they didn't. Because I said to them, no, I want you to either use Gliffy.com or in PowerPoint or Word, there's all these symbols that you can use.
What's
to do
Gliffy.com?
That. So Gliffy.com is... It's got lots of symbols that you can use to create charts and diagrams. So some of them use Gliffy, some of them use other things. And basically what I'm doing is I'm teaching them how to create a flowchart. So then when they had their flowcharts, I was able to stop them and share them with the rest of the class. And it was like, right, we're looking at an example on the board. You've got 5 seconds with your pinky partner. What's really good about the flowchart? What do they need to do to improve it? And that was it. And there was one that was really, really good, but I saved that till the end.
Yeah.
And rather than just show that one first of all. So that's pretty much it.
So then for next week, they'll use that learning to improve their controlled assessment.
Yeah. So on Monday, I'm not in. I'm in Liverpool doing some Raspberry Pi stuff with teachers. And they've got Mary Cooch, Moodle Fairy. And I've told them all, it's a controlled assessment lesson. Mm. But you need to now refer to the stuff that you did in the lesson and check what you've been doing as a flowchart, which is something completely different, but how do the two compare and for them to change it? And I've also written a note to myself that this EG thing, where it says EG 4, 6 or 12, I need to pick up on that. Okay, so that's what I've been doing this week. And what about yourself? What have you been doing?
I've got a question there, just going back to your controlled assessment. There's actually marks available from the OCR for group work.
Ah, right.
So how are you? I didn't know this.
No,
either.
No.
Yes, there are marks available, and they can actually reference where they've worked with other people and how.
Ah.
So could they actually use that they've checked each other's flowcharts to see if you
could
follow
it? You're really good at coming up with all these little
ideas. Well, I learned this.
Didn't know about. Yeah.
I learned this last weekend from Doug Clark, actually.
Yeah.
And I hadn't picked up on it. And obviously, this would normally perhaps come into where they're testing it.
Yeah.
Because you've got to
get
other people to test your programmes.
Right.
So that's where they can work with others. Mm-hmm. And it's the first I've ever heard of a controlled assessment actually having a component where they can actually work with others. So that you could actually, I suppose, use to say, right, could you follow this flowchart?
Yep.
That's what would make a good design section, wouldn't it?
Yep.
That you can take the design.
Yep.
Could you implement this program?
Yeah, yeah. So if one of the partners was to, so I could give them another example in the following lesson, design a flowchart for this, pass it over to the other person, and I suppose we'd have to do it in a way where that the person who was trying to create the program didn't know what the flowchart was trying to solve. So you'd have to kind of, it would almost have to be secretive that they'd open a piece of paper with two different tasks.
But you could do that, though, couldn't you? Because you could actually just say, come up with, 20 different tasks quite easily. It wouldn't even have to necessarily be 20, because you'd just have 10 different ones in the room. And then just try and make sure that the people who weren't in the same pot, man, they could do, because they could do it in different ways.
But if they're working in pairs, so the pinky has, say, problem A, and the other one has problem B. They're both different, so they have to design a flowchart, pass it over, and the third party should be able to take that flowchart and then codify it.
Basically, we'll put it into Sudo. Patch your pseudocode as well.
So talk about pseudocode.
Yes.
Tell us and what you've been doing with...
Actually doing algorithm design following a session that Doug Clark did on teaching GCC computing at Edge Hill last weekend, wasn't it? And he got me questioning whether my classes really, really understood algorithm design using either stepwise refinement, pseudocode or flowcharts. And obviously the OCR specification requires pseudocode and or flowcharts, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So my question was, have I really embedded this in with my students? Do they know how to do this? So I was thinking at the weekend I need to do a lesson on algorithms, flowchart design and then pseudocode.
I really didn't know what you're doing because you sent me this picture of like little paper airplanes. I thought, what's this got to do with algorithms and stuff?
Well, I was trying to think of a way of actually ensuring that the classes understood what an algorithm was, because it's quite a scary word, isn't it? Because it sounds quite complicated.
And I've heard teachers at Key Stage 2 saying to me, panicking. I've got to teach algorithms. What on earth is an algorithm?
Basically, and they were getting all panicky about what is an algorithm, because it sounds like such a complicated word. Same like pseudocode sounds like a really complicated word. And I found in my son's bookcase, my six-year-old's bookcase, a box of paper airplane designs. He'd had this Christmas present.
Yeah. Is this like one of these calendars? You tear a page off a day?
It's not a calendar. It's a box of a year's worth of paper airplanes.
All right.
So basically I thought, because obviously on the back were these...
instructions telling you how to build it.
But they weren't particularly clear instructions. No. They weren't particularly good instructions either.
Did they have words on them?
They did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they had words on it, and they also had, you know, some diagrams as well. And I took them, and my start of the lesson was, build yourself a paper aeroplane.
Mm-hmm.
And what they found, the problem was, is that they got one piece of paper, and on one side was the colour of the paper and the paper airplane and the lines.
Yeah.
And then on the back was the instructions.
Right, so as they were folding the plane, they lose the instructions.
Basically, Mm-hmm. So obviously then the challenge was to transfer that into a flowchart.
Sure.
And to then test their plane.
So would there be decisions in it then? So I'm saying
For some of the planes, they had to decide on the angle to fold the wings.
Okay.
But also then the final decision was, does the plane fly? Yeah. Yes or no? No, unfold, start again.
This just sounds like some really long, convoluted explanation as to why your children were throwing paper airplanes around the classroom.
It ended up being a very messy class.
Yeah.
But they understood at the end that an algorithm actually doesn't have to be a flowchart. It doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, in pseudocode. It is just a simple set of instructions and to communicate the solution to a problem.
Yeah.
And that's all I wanted them to understand.
Sure.
But from that then, because I have a double lesson, we went from there where I gave them three different problems. They were in pairs as well by this point, and I gave them three different problems. And we did a sage and scribe activity.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
That's funny because I realised I'd left that out.
You know, did you do a sage and scribe activity?
When they
did you see my lesson plan? Are you sure?
No. No, when they were doing, you know, I said they had to create then a flowchart for the car, the frost alarm. Well, I realised these people are way out in front on that progress checker. They're going to know how to do a flowchart.
So I got them
to tell the other person how to create it, and then halfway through they had to swap over.
Yes, I did exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
How weird.
Yeah.
But I did two different...
just means you're as crazy as I am.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. But I did it slightly differently, that they weren't just doing flowcharts. One problem was they had to do in a flowchart.
Yeah.
And one problem they had to do then in pseudocode.
Yeah.
And then we had a third problem that they had to do in three different ways. They had to do it as stepwise refinement. Then they had to do it
as a flowchart. You keep saying stepwise.
Yeah.
I'm going to pretend I don't know what stepwise means.
Okay.
So just explain stepwise.
So basically where you list the steps to solve a problem, as literally numbered steps.
Yeah, so and like then, tying shoelaces.
So I did, my problem was make a cheese and ham sandwich.
Okay.
So obviously you have to get all the ingredients together. Yeah. Now, step one, getting the ingredients. To then refine that step, you would have step 1.1,
get the cheese.
Get bread, butter. Get the butter.
And then you could refine down, get cheese to go to fridge, open door.
Basically,
yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
And the students, they really, really loved that because they found that, some of them found that the easiest way.
Sure.
And then they found that, right, okay, so from that I can then, say, start to develop my programme in pseudocode. So there you go.
Did it achieve what you wanted, this lesson?
Yes, it did.
Oh, right.
It really, really did, because definitely the Year 9s were fantastic on Monday, and they were solving the problems, drawing flow charts, no problem. And I had also demonstrated the different symbols, and I did that with making a cup of tea. So we did that, and then they were doing it in pseudocode as well. Might need some more practice on the pseudocode, because they don't like pseudocode.
Now, I was just thinking about how... I discovered this morning that I don't tend to go on Facebook a lot, but Mark Clarkson had mentioned that on Facebook there's an OCR GCSE computing group that somebody set up. So I didn't know.
News to me as well.
But when I went and looked on there, and I noticed somebody posted a question yesterday saying that their friend had an interview for a... And I always wonder, when somebody says, my friend has this problem, I always think,
Yeah, you really mean you, don't you?
But you don't want to say on Facebook that I want ideas for... but they've got to teach a computing science lesson. And what you're saying... The way you're describing, I was thinking, wow, that'd be. But I suppose you'd have to practice it with. If you're going to go for an interview and you're going to and you're going to do that with a class, I suppose you'd need to practice it with your own class in your own class. You know, the safety of your own room first of all.
I don't know. I haven't really.
No, but you weren't being interviewed when you were doing this with the class. And if the key job that you were after depended on it...
I tell you what, I did actually practice an observed class when I was doing it for the whole school review. Yeah, I did practice that. Yeah, you would. Yeah. You'd have a go, I suppose. But if you've got a simple flowchart lesson or a simple pseudocode lesson, you could do that with not necessarily a computing class, because flowcharts is relevant to Key Stage 3 as well.
We'll... Wrap it up with a...
Hold on. I did have a plenary there.
Yes.
I've got this new thing with a plenary, and it was draw your learning. Just to wrap it up, so draw your learning from today's lesson, and a bit like Pictionary. You know, Pictionary. And we have our... At Ashton, we have consolidates rather than plenaries.
Yes, yes,
yeah. So it's consolidating their learning. What have you learned? How have you learned it?
Yeah.
How have you learned it? So mine was to see what they had learnt and how they were going to remember it was to draw your learning.
Yeah.
And the different things I had was fantastic. We had an alligator singing a rhythm. So for algorithm.
Gosh,
and then
we had
a river with different
graphs. But you didn't
tell
them. They chose this themselves.
Just draw your learning.
Yeah.
Draw your learning. Whatever you've learned today,
whatever
you've learned in today's lesson, I want you to draw it. You can't use text. You can't use any kind of writing. It's drawing only.
Yeah. I like that because... You know, I was the last time we recorded a podcast, I was telling you about how I was doing this USA, understand, summarize, and answer.
Mm-hmm.
And they just keep... it's part of their revision program. They just keep copying the text out of the book.
I know, they can't with that.
But with draw your learning, it would be encouraging them to draw the things that they've...
They've remembered.
Yeah.
And
in fact,
absorbed.
This is a great idea, because I'm thinking about how next week, when I'm doing a revision lesson with my Year 11s, I might be asking them to draw three or four of the things that they can remember from the revision topic the night before, and then the other person has to guess what it is that they draw.
Yeah, there you go.
You're brilliant. Yeah, we've got
it. I also got rivers with graphs, so flow and charts, and then they add the shapes flowing down the rivers of the different... it was fantastic. Anyway, there you go. That's my week. In summary, in computing.
Okay, so we'll wrap it up in just a second. I love the Computing at School community.
Yeah.
And I get that email every day. I don't know if you get the same one.
I do.
It's breaking down. It says...
It's always at 12:30.
Yes,
what's
Yeah, that's what time Neil goes to bed. You know Neil? Oh, gosh, his second name. I met Neil this week. He came to Preston Geek Up. Neil will be listening to this now going, shouting his name. But anyway, Neil works at the University of Kent.
Yes.
And he's... does lots of this stuff to do with the forums. And
I've got Brown in my head.
Yeah, Neil Brown. Yeah, Neil Brown.
Hello, Neil.
And on Twitter...
I remember Alan didn't.
And on Twitter, he's at Twisted Square. I remember that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so... I love reading the emails, but there's so much stuff in there. It's trying to stay up on top of it.
Yeah.
But from that, I discovered the Facebook page. And then today, I discovered this using python.com. And It's very different. You look at it in a browser and it takes you through, and it would be a great way for somebody who's never used Python before to get into it. So it starts off with an introduction, how you run a Python program. I mean, it doesn't run Python in your browser.
No.
You do need to have Python installed, but it's a nice, easy way of getting straight into it. And it's got things like Hangman and Battleships and all that things. So it's using python.com.
Right. And, I shall have a look at that.
So if people want to...
So that would be for like self-development of teachers as well?
Yeah. I think that could work both ways. Or say a teacher's absent, like an unplanned absence or something like that. You might say, figure out where are you on this stage using python.com and then try and get to the next bit. I'll try it with my class next week when they're doing the controlled assessment. Say, look, maybe you'll find some of the solution. I mean, it's got dictionaries, lists, arrays, while loops, for loops...
Are they allowed to access that during the controlled assessment for OCR? I don't think they are they?
Are they not?
I don't know.
Oh.
I'm not sure they're
actually... Oh, you got me worried there.
You need to check that.
Yeah.
Because for the other controlled assessments from OCR, they're not supposed to access the internet. Except for in a specified amount of time.
You don't mean the research task, do you? Because it's actually based, it's online, the little man computer.
No, not the research task.
Yeah. Right.
But it depends on the
programming task. I don't want to get into hot water, but read up on that
that's
one.
That's in the investigation task. Yeah. Obviously, then you allow them access to the internet in a certain amount of time. I don't know about the programming task. Yeah. I haven't actually checked.
Right, we've gone over. This is normally about 20 minutes long. So if people want to send you messages, how can they get in touch with you on Twitter?
At VickyVille, that's VickiVille.
We like our K's, don't we? Because I'm Techno Teacher, at Techno Teacher, TekNo, not TechNo. And thanks for listening. If you like the podcast and you've got any comments, please... Oh, I had a lovely email this week from David Whale. It was telling me all about the podcast. And I need to show that to you, just so we can look at it, because there's loads of great ideas in there. Bye.
Bye.